Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
It's time to talk Sabres hockey. Let's get the inside story. Here's Sabres head coach, Don Granato. The Don Granato Show is being brought to you by Firth Jewelers. For all the moments in your life, go forth to Firth. By Losi and Ganji, workers' compensation and personal injury attorneys, working hard for hardworking Western New Yorkers. And by Town Auto Group. Check out Town Auto Group's lineup of EVs. Now with head coach Don Granato, here's Jeremy White and Joe DiBiase.
Happy Tuesday morning. Tuesdays at 8 o'clock, we speak with the Sabres head coach, Don Granato. He's joining us on the Western Hotline. Don, good morning. Happy Tuesday. Happy game day.
Good morning. Thanks. Thanks. Appreciate that.
So, all right, Don, we've got plenty to get to. You've got a goaltender coming in. You've got a big game tonight against Nashville, a home stretch, and coming off a couple of losses and trying to find answers. I want to ask you about the Boston game to start. It's a game where the score gets completely, you know, like out of whack, but it wasn't as if there wasn't an opportunity in that game. I wonder, you know, when it's process over results or how you look at a game like that, you're playing a great team, maybe the best team in the NHL, and it does get away the way a couple of these games have tended to get away. So do you stick to process there? How do you process a game like that?
Yeah, you first have to grapple your frustration. You know, obviously disappointment, all the gamut of all those emotions that it's a tough night. And then obviously we gave up a goal real early in the game, 15 seconds in. That's a team that has a swagger, obviously. They're on a historic pace at the NHL for winning. And they come off a win the night before in Minnesota. So they got the swagger. They score 15 seconds in, and they're playing on house money, very relaxed. Obviously a very experienced team, and then they just pick their spots, basically. You know, so you go, you feel how you feel during the game, after the game, whatever it may be. Then you watch it on film, and then you see, obviously, on film, some of the okay things or good things. It's hard to say good things when you lose, but things you did right to generate chances. You know, the scoring chances at the end of the first were even, and they were up 3-0. They're just that efficient at what they do. And I felt our chances on the other side, as I felt recently, we're gripping our stick. We're putting too much pressure, more pressure on the situation. And it's taking us out of that natural skill that we've seen so much of this year. We're just playing a bit tight. And when that happens, you through the course of a game like that, with a team that's free like that, is you have that discrepancy eventually, and that's what it was the other night. It's frustrating, and we got to find a way to move past it in a productive manner.
It marks another game added to Tage Thompson's goal drought here. I mean, he's been, of course, a tremendous player all season. Has hit a bit of a rough patch here. And, you know, maybe in the Boston game, maybe throughout this stretch, I don't know that it's being snake bitten. It seems maybe the opportunities aren't coming the same way that they did earlier in the year. So what have you made of Tage's game and the recent drought?
Yeah, no, I'm glad you say it the way you did, because in the Boston game, he didn't have much for opportunity. In the previous 5-6 games, he had lots of opportunity some goalposts, some pucks that hit the goalie. The goalie didn't even know the puck was hitting him. And multiple in each game. So he could have scored, easily could have scored during this drought based on the shot production and chance production that he's had. The Boston game, without question, I don't recall him having much opportunity in that game, but you could see obvious instances of frustration. And, you know, this, unfortunately, you know, we're going through a challenge. It's, I say it's a privilege to be in a position that this pressure has mounted, expectations have mounted, disappointment ensues at a greater level, and that's pressure that we all have to deal with. And, you know, as a team, as individuals, and sometimes the pressure gets the best of you until you learn how to deal with it and push to the next plateau or push through it and get to the next plateau. And I feel that's where we're at within the process.
I want to make a golf analogy for you, Don, because I know you play some golf. I was watching the tournament this past weekend, and Jordan Spieth was leading the field in bounce back percentage. And what that is like, how do you do after a bogey? Do you make sure like things don't get away from you? And I thought about that as, you know, you could apply that to any sport. When you talk about needing to go through these moments, this tough stretch you guys are in, is it about teaching younger players, teaching a guy like Tage Thompson, who's, you know, entering into the prime of his career, a big contract, all eyes on him now as a top line. Is it about teaching them how to shake off or not even think about what happened in the last game, the opportunity missed, and just focusing on what's in front of you right there?
Yeah, it's a little less teaching as much as, I guess you could call it teaching, but helping them recognize how we are all dealing with pressure. He, the team, you know, everybody. And you tend to complicate what was formerly simple. You just did it routinely. You overthink it now. You try to do it deliberately, and it just is, it's enough to take you out of, you know, out of the zone. As you overthink it. And for Tage, he was, you know, getting chances, and you could see his frustration mount. Now there's, you know, he was missing the chemistry with Alex Tuch, obviously Alex being out with an injury, and then Alex coming back really, you know, quick from an injury, and trying to jump back and gain chemistry right away, and get back in a rhythm where they were. That can complicate things as well, or compound frustration. So, you know, when you start complicating what was simple, it's advantage the other team and disadvantage you. And again, that happens, you know, when you get inside your head. I feel, you know, that this challenge is we've lost a little bit of what our identity is. And played with a little bit too much hesitation and fear. And when you do just a little bit, the margin for error at this level is significant, as it is at any, you know, pro level. And so I think Tomer is going to push through it and be better because of it, and so will we.
When looking back on the season as a whole, Don, for really the whole season, there have been a lot of winning streaks. There have been a lot of losing streaks as well. They've kind of come in bunches, and I wonder, is that one of those things that you might be able to chalk up to the maturity level of the team? Or would you even maybe chalk that up to randomness, that there have been so many winning streaks and so many losing streaks?
Well, you could absolutely correlate it to injury. That's injuries or injuries. And then, yes, I believe, you know, in all my experience, you know, decades going through teams, yes, that is a trait of teams that need to gain experience, you know, more or just depleted teams. So yeah, I think it's a combination of that with us. You know, we are a young team. This is first time for, you know, Tage Thompson and Alex Tuch to be first line players. They've not been consistent first line players. And I don't point to those two like it's just those two. It's not. It's nothing to do with that. It's all guys are in different situations for the first time in their career. They're more than capable, but it's the first time in their career. And I know one thing that I will share with you that I know for sure. Our guys have so much pride and want to win, and they want to win for Buffalo, for the people of Buffalo. Well, sometimes that's almost takes you out of it. And they press and they it matters so much to them that they tighten up. You don't want to lose and you stop identifying with how to win. And again, that's not unnatural. But I do feel that that's a big part of what we're going through. We didn't all of a sudden get bad. Trust me on that. We're not, but you know, we're fighting ourselves a bit. And when you do it just a bit, and you play good hockey teams that really, in the case the other night, just have really nothing to lose at this point. It's an easy game, much easier on them.
Sabres head coach Don Granato on the Western Hotline. Don, I want to ask you about Jordan Greenway, who, you know, you guys acquire at the deadline. You'd had some experience with him before. He's got a couple of years on his contract. So he's got a challenge of trying to adjust to a new team, jump into this lineup, systems, whatever. One point to this point, just the one goal against Dallas. How have you felt about Jordan Greenway and what steps happen from here to make sure, you know, he does fit in nicely? It seems like right now you're kind of moving around trying to find a home for him on a line.
Yeah, we've moved a lot of guys around, but there's some reasons for that. Not one that we're talking about now, but he is going to be very good for us. He's on his way to that. I don't think he's played near what he's capable of at this point. It's a challenging, obviously, situation for him to come in and you know, we've struggled of late as a group. But he'll push through it. And he, you know, again, much, but what we, everything we said when we acquired him, he has that at this level already, with lots of games experience. He'll be a big force presence for us, as he settles in, but is he where, he can be? He's not even close. So that's just, you know, one more guy that I know can play much, much better and will continue to move toward that.
Don, some of the younger players on your team, like the rookies, Power, Quinn, Paterka, I wonder, do you already kind of know like what you want these guys to work on in the off season? And would you be doing that teaching now as the season progresses on? Or do you feel like at this stage in the game, like Power 66 games in, for instance, that you just kind of let him ride the rest of the way and then we'll work on what we work on in the off season? Like, how do you approach developing a rookie when you're this late in a year?
Well, you use the clips and instances from the previous game, and you do think about, okay, the player needs to, improve in this area. And yes, you would jot it down that this is going to be further discussed in exit meetings in summertime, in the off season, or with respect to next season. But those conversations, again, you take your notes, and those conversations will happen after the season. But absolutely, you're looking at, because of how much youth we have, it's a continual build. You have a young team. Obviously, you have to do more. There's more coaching involved in that. And less as you have, you know, more established team, and that's just part of the business. And so with these guys, it's some of it's putting them in situations. I think Peyton Krebs, I think of even Cousins, very, very young still, Quinn, Paterka. You're getting them in situations, you're giving them this experience of much, much more pressure. And things are much more critical, and you see how they operate, and we see what we need to work on with them.
Sabres head coach Don Granato. Devin Levi met with the media yesterday. He signed with the team, goalie prospect, now part of the team, part of the roster with the organization. Don, I want to ask you, how you've come to know Levi through this process. We've heard Kevin Adams speak about him a bit. So what are your impressions of Levi right now, the player and the person?
I'm very impressed with him in both. And I've obviously watched him at our prospect camp, got to talk with him in Boston last year, prospect camp this year, and now here. But most of what I know through him is through our staff that has been engaged with him since we traded for him. Firstly, Kevin. So I know a lot of him through Kevin Adams and Kevin's discussions with him. And There's a lot to be excited about, both as a person, and obviously we know that as a player with what he's accomplished at the college level is quite impressive and in quite elite company. So he'll fit in well, and I'm very, very excited to get him going.
Do you look at other player comps, guys that have come in as young as him with collegiate experience? I mean, there's, you know, some Connor Hellebuck kind of comparisons, guys that came. Jeremy Swayman's another one who played the other night for Boston. When it comes to development timelines, are you guys looking at specific comparisons and other young goaltenders, or is it just an individual kind of thing, how he looks at this moment?
You know, I think you're aware of comparisons. You're aware of Swayman and his entry, or Hellebuck, or others. But you know, much like Owen Power, you're also evaluating, okay, what let's not think of this guy as a 19-year-old kid or 20-year-old kid, or let's just look at him and how mature is he? What's his self-awareness? You know, what are his habits? What's his routines? So basically, what's his base of skill and work and competitiveness and all those things, game knowledge, situational knowledge. And I would say, you know, when Owen came in, I knew all of that was very, very high, much higher than probably any 19-year-old in the world, by miles. And Devin has a lot of attributes that show he's way more advanced than his peers that he's been with in college hockey. Now we have to sit, you know, some time and see, okay, where does that fit in compared to NHL goalies? And, you know, we'll gauge that as we go, but that base is what we will be assessing to see, you know, what moves might be right for him next.
13 games to go. Eric Comrie back on the ice yesterday as well at practice. And I'm wondering, do you think you know what the goalie split might look like the rest of the way now that they're, you know, four goaltenders with the team? Is obviously a pretty unique circumstance.
It is. It wouldn't happen if it wasn't the end of the year, obviously. But I can just, we know who's going tonight. We have planned out the next couple games that, you know, as a base, and that we would, you know, we could always alter it. But we have really just the next 3 to 4 games laid out. And in that process, we're going to see, obviously, where, you know, Comrie's obviously just practiced yesterday for the first time. So we will gauge it more thinking about four of them after probably the next 3-4 days and see, you know, lay things out there and start making decisions on it after the next 3 or 4 games.
Anything else injury-wise in Greenway? I know you said yesterday was day-to-day. Samuelson as well. Any more information on either one of those two?
Yeah, and unless I'm missing any more information on those two. After practice yesterday, obviously Samuelson is still out, remains out he'll be out for a while. Greenway is, you know, he'll come in this morning. We'll see how he is. I would say he's still day to day. So I, you know, can't tell you if he's in tonight or not, but it's not going to be a surprise either way, I guess, because he's right on the cusp of that. He potentially could play, and it might not resolve. And
lost you a little bit there at the end, but all right. Okay.
Greenway is still day to day, but again, yeah. I haven't seen him this morning yet. So.
Gotcha. Okay. Don, real quick on Samuelson, you mentioned like his injury. The numbers when he is in and out of the lineup. I mean, I know it's obviously there's a lot of factors at play. There are other injuries, but boy, the splits with and without Samuelson are significant.
Yes, they are, and I think what I read out of that is that we are right on the cusp of flipping. I've mentioned a lot of times when we were under the threshold of winning consistently, and we've been under that. But once you break the threshold, you just start winning consistently. And that might be overall team growth just a little bit more. It might be just, you know, an individual player or two. And so I think with Samuelson, that's been a barometer, And I don't think it's as much – no discredit to Samson. He's incredible, and he's an impactful guy, and the numbers speak for themselves. But if we had Samuelson in and Dahlin out, the numbers might be very similar. If we had Samuelson and Dahlin in and maybe Owen Power out or whatever, the numbers might be somewhat similar. So the point is that the depth, that's where the threshold of hitting depth and guys playing in different roles and trying to fill different minutes can become taxing. And the wear and tear of that can bring things down. So I think that's a good barometer and gauge. It's almost giving us information that and feedback that we're right at a threshold. We just have to keep pushing, and that's developing other guys and them continuing to grow so we can withstand that. And obviously getting him back would be a huge bonus, and everybody being healthy would be a huge bonus.
Sabres head coach Don Granato. Don, thanks for the time. Good luck tonight against Nashville.
Thank you, guys. I appreciate it.
Don Granato on the Western Hotline. The numbers, the splits on Samuelson.
Mm-hmm.
Have you seen the updated splits on with and without Samuelson in the lineup?
I remember them when they went through that 8-game losing streak earlier in the year, but not updated, no.
Here they are. With Samuelson,
yep.
They are 28-16-4.
Okay. Well beyond the playoff pace.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Without Samuelson, they are 5-14-2. 5 of 21 without Samuelson.
That's tough.
And as Don says, it's not only him, but if you wanted to do just one,
well,
when this guy's out of the lineup, everything kind of changes, and those splits are crazy.
Well, and he brought that up when I asked him about how streaky the team's been all year, right? Like, how many win streaks, how many losing streaks? Like, I wonder how much of that literally is Samuelson in the lineup or not?
803-0550. Sal on the other side. Good news. For some. The Bills running back dynasty. Mm. We made a mistake today. We declared it dead. We said no one could ever mock the Bills a running back this year. It's over. Damian Harris signed. All the Zeke. Derek.
Hold on. Do I have
Mel Kiper this morning.
I have to break the list out.
Mel Kiper this morning. Even after the Damian Harris signing, Bills, Bijan Robinson.
Come on.
This morning.
The list. Add him. We need a new list.
It's not even an oversight. Quote, I know Buffalo has James Cook and just added Damian Harris on a one-year deal.
Does he?
He wrote it.
He wrote it, but I'm not sure he actually even knows it.
List. This is a team that can afford to target a luxury position in round one. Well, folks, it was a nice run thinking we were going to dodge the running back first round chatter. And, I mean, Zeke, are the Bills the favorite landing spot for Ezekiel Elliott and Derrick Henry still?
Right, they're going to have six
Bills,
running backs.
The Bills running back dynasty will never die. Sal on the other side to talk with us about Damian Harris and Trent Sherfield, two players they signed yesterday. We still don't have the terms on the deal other than their one-year deals. No money yet. Devin Singletary out, Damian Harris in, and of course, mock drafts with running backs. Jeremy White and Joe DiBiase here on WGR.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's LYST. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
It's Sal Capaccio.
I make a special capaccio for you, right?
Yes. Oh, now that sounds really good.
Oh, you like?
Hey, get away! Get away from my wife with that!
What's the matter, carpaccio, no good?
What? What do you do now?
They don't like a carpaccio.
They like carpaccio.
Oh. On WGR.
I make a capaccio for you.
Sports Radio 550.
Sal Capaccio, his appearance brought to you by New York's only outlaw liquor. When it's time to stock up, it's the best place to buy a case. What's your outlet? Good morning, Sal.
Good morning. And another part of that storyline for Levi, if it's Montreal, he grew up a huge Canadiens fan.
That's right.
Carey Price was his idol growing up in goal. So that would be a pretty cool part of the storyline if he started that game against the Canadiens.
Yeah, maybe it ends up being the perfect start for him on
That's
Monday
right.
at KeyBank Center. Sal, we got Bills signings, and I think I've said it this way. If you're one of the fans that had been really in on the Bills adding to their offense and adding weapons, to this point, while there aren't any monster moves, they've addressed offensive line, they've addressed running back, they've addressed receiver in two different moves. It's four pieces to kind of help them upgrade on offense, and I think for the most part, people like what they've done.
Yeah, I think they're getting pretty good reviews around the league. I know fans oftentimes want the bigger name, the splash player, spend a lot of money, and that's fine. I mean, if you can, you can. You go out and you do that. The Bills aren't able to really take that approach given their salary cap constraints, so they've found areas where they think they can improve in different spots. And if you look at what they've done so far, I actually, while you guys were talking to Don Granato, I tweeted out an in and out chart. This is since free agency began, the players the Bills have brought in and the players have departed. Five on each column. What's interesting to me is all five in the in column play offense. The Bills have not added one single body to the defense other than their own guys. They have not brought in anybody from outside the organization on defense, but they have on offense. And I would say, obviously, other than Tremaine Edmonds, that's a big loss in the middle of your defense. If you look down that list of in, other than, you know, backup quarterback Kyle Allen, not going to count him, there's upgrades there. There's upgrades around. Connor McGovern is a starting offensive lineman. He's going to start in place of Roger Saffold. And considering the way Saffold played last year, we could definitely say that's an upgrade. Damian Harris over Devin Singletary. That's a flavor, like if that's what you want. But I think given the construction of the room and knowing that James Cook is going to be, you know, the number one guy, and your backup now is both Nyheim Hines, obviously, and Damian Harris. I think if you want to say, you know, if Devin Singletary to me was underrated and played pretty well for this team, but I think you could say that's an upgrade or at least it's a wash. And then at wide receiver, out is Isaiah McKenzie, in are Trent Sherfield and Deontay Hardy. I don't know how you can't think that those two over Isaiah McKenzie are not an upgrade for the offense.
Let's start with Sherfield. I mean, Joe suggested he could be the Kumerow replacement if the Bills ever wanted to play special teams, which they might. He indicated he does expect to be a part of the offense. You know, Sal, for me, the thing about Sherfield, I like the special teams angle of it at least. You know, McKenzie was smallish and, well, definitely small. And Deontay Hardy, the reviews of that were, well, he's kind of small. Sherfield is 6'1", and if you play special teams, you're not afraid to dole out a hit or two or be a little bit tough to play against. So, and there are a couple you know, highlights of his contact balance. He's not a smaller receiver. He gives them some pretty good versatility, has played on the outside, played on the inside, and, you know, he's just looking for an opportunity to kind of prove himself. He even tweeted, always bet on yourself. So it looks to me like a, you know, low-level depth receiver move that has the potential to pop a little bit, much like Deonte Hardy.
I like Joe's thought there about Jay Kumerow. I think that what you could say is he's Jay Kumerow's replacement for special teams, but with a better upside on offense, right?
Yeah.
That he can play. And he's not as tall as Jake, but like you said, he's not a real small guy. He's bigger than Stephon Diggs, taller at least. He's 6'1", about 215. And it's not just that he can, you know, absorb contact. He's considered a really good blocker, guys. He's actually considered a guy that can kind of line up like a tight end, or if you're not going to put your hand to the ground, right? Not going to be a 3-point stance, but he can actually kind of seal off the edge when you want to put him on the outside a little bit and put him in that position. So I think this is a guy they're getting kind of the whole package of a wide receiver, although not necessarily the top end talent of what you'd normally, you know, look at in that regard. But it is interesting to me that he kind of checks all those boxes. He's a little bit bigger. He's not the smaller guy they've been bringing in that they seem to really have a lot of on the roster. And he's a really good blocker as well. Gabe Davis is known as a really good blocker. Maybe this also, by the way, let's think about it these terms. Maybe this also takes a little more off Gabe's plate to be that guy. You know, how many times do we look at the end of a game and Stephon Diggs was on the field for 70% and there's Gabe Davis at 95%. And everyone's like, I can't believe Gabe Davis plays so much. Why is he always on the field so much? Well, he's a really good blocker. He does all those things. Maybe this is a way to take a little bit off that plate from Gabe so he can concentrate and be a little bit more effective in the passing game and not have to be on the field for all those run plays as well. But Sherfield's going to play special teams. He's not a return man. He's going to be a gunner. He can be a gunner, I should say. I don't know what his role will be, and he can play on all special teams units.
Yeah, PFF had him graded as one of the best run-blocking safeties in the last 4 years.
Receivers,
thank you.
Yeah.
So I like that, that you're laying it out, Sal, of like Davis, you know, maybe there can be games now where he plays 80% of the snaps instead of 98% because now they've got this guy that can go out and kind of fill part of his role. And is it right to say with Hardy and Sherfield, there's more of a commitment to guys that are more versatile at the receiver position? At this point last year, Sal, it was Diggs, Davis, and a lot of slot guys. And now I feel like even Shakir, who I think is the only one on the team that plays a higher percentage in the slot than outside, I feel like pretty much their entire receiving group are filled with guys that can line up anywhere on the field.
Yeah, was I a year early maybe in talking too much about positionless football and like just counting guys as weapons? Maybe. I still believe that's what they were aiming for last year, but I just don't think they ever got around to it the way they wanted to. But that was why they tried to and agreed to a deal with J.D. McKissic. That's why they drafted James Cook. That's why they traded for Nyheim Hines. That's why they brought in O.J. Howard, who didn't work out. Some of these things didn't work out, but I think the vision of this team now has been, under Ken Dorsey especially, since he took over a little over a year ago, I think the vision of this team, this offense, has been to really have guys who can do a lot of different things, and we can kind of strip away, not necessarily, I mean, of course, we know Trent Sherfield and Deonte Hardy are wide receivers, but like you said, slot receiver, outside receiver, strip that away. Even guys who can play necessarily tight end or running back, they're pass catchers, they're weapons. Guy who can block, right? Two guys who can block now. You can put these guys on the field and do multiple things. I remember specifically Ken Dorsey, really when he came in, one of his first press conferences to the media talking about creating matchups. You know, the Bills' ultimate goal is they want to dictate what the defense has to do to them. Always remember that, which is like, when fans are watching a game, they see somebody on a sidelines hold up these numbers, right? 12, 22. That's the personnel. That's telling the defense what personnel, you know, the team is in. They respond to that. The Bills want to force teams to respond to personnel they're in and then take advantage of that and say, yep, even though we're in 12 personnel, you know, we're going to use those two tight ends as wide receivers because you're going to go heavier now. That's really, I think, what the ultimate goal has been. And it seems like that's what's happening here with guys who can play all different ways and around different spots of the offense.
Okay, Sal, so how does Damian Harris fit in for all that? You have been saying, and then Brandon Bean flat out said, they're looking to add at running back and to get a downhill guy. Is Harris, I mean, he's bigger than what they have. He's not exactly, you know, just some sort of plow. He's got some speed as well, as Bills fans can attest. So how do you feel about the Harris signing?
Well, I like Damian Harris as a runner. My concern is he's been injured. He had some hamstring injuries last year, a couple of years ago, not 21, I think 19. I'm sorry, 20. He also had some injuries as well. So he's got to stay healthy, but you're not counting on him to, you know, be on the field a ton necessarily and carry the ball a ton. I think this might be maybe a goal line back as well. He had 15 touchdowns a couple of years ago. I think a lot of them were from more in close. He is a physical style running back. He's a little bit more downhill. He's not John Riggins, right? I mean, that's not what you're getting here. This is not this super thick, big guy that's just going to pound at you in between the tackles. But I think he gives them a little bit more flexibility as far as when you get in those situations, you can have a guy like that. And he doesn't have to play just short yardage, by the way. Like, that's not necessarily what he did in New England. We're going to talk with Evan Lazar on our program, by the way, about him a little bit and what his role can be. So I think more than anything, I think what you have to look at here is how is the room constructed? How is the running back room constructed? You know, Brandon Bean said, we have a couple guys that are 200 pounds, you know, talking about Cook and Nyheim Hines. They'd like to get a little bit bigger. He's not a ton bigger, but he is what, 215 or so, 210 to 215. So they added some muscle, they added some thickness there. But it's not like necessarily just one for one. It's not Singletary for Harris because Harris isn't going to have the same role as Singletary. James Cook is going to have more of the role of Singletary. And then Harris falls in as more of a option in different situations. So I like the signing. I like the player. And by the way, it's always good when you can take a good player off a division rival as well, right? And weaken them a little bit.
Are you ready to declare Bijan Robinson's hawk dead? Because Mel Kiper has it today.
Can't believe it.
Sal, we made the mistake of finally feeling like the running back conversation was toast, but it's not toast.
Okay, here's what I feel like, and I don't know this. I feel like Mel had been working on his mock. He was going to do it, and he had it, and then the Bills signed Harris, so he just kept him there, and he just threw in, hey, they also signed Damian Harris, right?
Yeah, right.
Maybe he just didn't want to go redo his mock. I wonder if he sat down and redid it all over again, if he would still keep him there. Now, maybe I'm wrong, but it just feels like that's the kind of thing. It happens in the morning. Harris, you know, agreed last night, not even official signing yet, but I can confirm he did agree, and they're going to sign him. So maybe that's the case. Now, to your overall question and point, I don't think we'll ever get away from it. It's just crazy to me that more people keep doing this. It's just every single year, no matter where we are leading up to the draft, whether it's Travis Etienne or Breece Hall, doesn't matter. So I just can't see it. I've never seen it. I just don't think the Bills have a philosophy of doing it that way. I don't think that their philosophy is to take a running back with that kind of asset. They're not into pay running backs. Look at the guys they have. They used a second round pick on James Cook. They used 2 third round picks on guys before that. So you could say those are pretty good assets, and I agree with that. I still think they're not the top level first round, and they're also not guys they're going to eventually pay and use to say, like, we got to pay these guys, like kind of like a Saquon Barkley is in New York. He's been a first round pick, and after 5 years, you have to pay him as well. It just doesn't seem like the Bills' philosophy.
It will, I mean, Mel Kiper withstanding. It should, though, Sal, quiet the noise, I would think, all season, right? Because they had drafted a day three guy, like we had been talking about a little bit in the past days. They draft a day three guy, you know, Pacheco type, you know, physical, but in the fifth round or later, something like that. Then all year, any star running back that becomes available, I think you would still have seen the Bills' name mentioned. Whereas now, like Damian Harris, I mean, he rates enough in the league because of that season he had 2 years ago and the starting experience in New England. Like, I think Harris is enough of a name that even the pundits that want to put running backs on different teams when they become available, I feel like Harris is a big enough name to kind of quiet all of that.
Yeah, it probably will. As we go on, you'll probably get less and less like that. What I do think is interesting, what Mel wrote at the very end, the Bills are in a position that they can have a luxury pick.
Yeah,
right?
Bills fans feel less like that than they have in a while.
Right. Isn't that funny? Like,
yeah.
Bills fans are like, no, they still have holes. And here's, you know, Mel Kiper going, they can have a luxury pick. I think it also speaks to the roster is still really good, guys, right? Yeah. Like, the roster is still really good. It's not perfect. No team is. You don't have all pros at every position. Everybody would love that. They did lose a middle linebacker. What's going to happen there? There are question marks. Let's go back to what I said to start the segment, which is if you look at their in and out, 5 offensive players in, 0 defense. I think, all right, I'm going to declare right here,
yep.
March 21, you guys, Jeremy White, Joe DiBiase, Sal Capaccio, I'm just throwing it out there. I think we all have to start having a mindset that defense is very much starting to become much more in play in the early part of the draft. I'm not sitting here saying they're going to take a linebacker round one. I don't know that. Could still be a receiver. I still think tight end is in play. But it feels like to me that their philosophy and approach this offseason has been, let's add on offense. We got to add there. We got to plug some holes there. We're going to get younger through free agency and then get younger and add on defense through the draft. That's what it feels like to me.
I've been trying to prep Joe to get ready for the defensive end.
I don't want to hear it.
What about defensive tackle?
Aren't they more set at defensive tackle than they are defensive end?
No, I don't think so at all. It depends on what you think of Von Miller, by the way, and I think Greg Rousseau is really becoming a nice player. I think they have a guy, A.J. Epenesa is not, who knows,
well,
right?
Who do they have under contract?
Wait, Boogie Basham, and look long-term. Ed Oliver, I don't know what you're going to do with him, but a year from now, I don't think Ed Oliver's on this team.
Yeah, I just mean for this year, when you say what you think of Basham and Epenesa, I think non-factors, and the Bills would be drafting, basically treat it like they treated... I mean, Rousseau is there, of course. Vaughn, I don't know when he's going to be healthy, and I think they're going to want to start the season with two potential defensive ends that they can count on. So, tackle, you got Daquan Jones, Tim Settle, Ed Oliver. Okay, I could listen to it, Sal. I think linebacker and defensive front, right, defensive line. I'm with you. When you say that, without saying, I'm all bored and I love the idea, I think that this is a year where the draft will be about getting younger on defense.
They are aging. They are aging out and losing players on defense a bit, right? And I say aging out, right? They're getting older. Jordan Poyer, Micah Hyde, they're both in their early 30s now. Jermaine Edmonds leaves free agency. I mean, Matt Milano signs an extension. He's 28. I mean, he's there for a while, but these guys are getting a little bit older. Vaughn is obviously older and coming off the injury, like you said. Tre'Davious White's coming off the injury. I think that they're going to me, it just feels to me like maybe the direction is let's get younger and supplant and have the next wave of guys on defense and do that through the draft.
Yep.
Well, let me ask you this, Sal. Right now, and this will drive some draft conversation, who would you think is more likely to sign an extension with this team, Ed Oliver or Gabe Davis?
Well, I think it's Davis myself.
Gabe Davis, 100%.
Yeah. I think, I don't know about you, Sal. I think Oliver is, it's not even on my radar as an extension candidate.
Well, at that point, then, this is where I'm getting
Listen,
to with
Joe,
defensive tackle.
Let me say this. I believe, I don't know, this is just my belief on how they approach things. I believe both Gabe Davis and Tyler Bass could sign extensions before the season even starts. I'm not even talking about next year. I think they might do it before, like they did with Dawson Knox. The Bills typically do that with some guys, Reggie Gilliam, Dawson Knox. They try to get guys locked up, Tre'Davious White, Deion Dawkins, before the season going into their final year. I think those two guys is what I'm targeting, and I am not thinking at all about Ed Oliver for that.
Well, where I'm getting to on this, and to your theory about seeing them getting younger on defense and that kind of being the theme of the draft, and we know middle linebackers avoid... As someone that wants to see them pick receiver, I'm suddenly, in the last 3 minutes, very worried about defensive tackle because I think I have this right, Sal, because Daquan Jones has a void year after this year. They don't have a defensive tackle under contract past this season.
No, actually, let me see. I have a little chart
I did here.
So if I go to next year, I had this this chart I put up, but that's correct. Now, if I think about it, that is exactly right. The Bills have... basically nobody there under contract,
Tim Settle?
I think. Tim Settle reworked his deal.
He has a void year next year as well. I think they do not have a defensive tackle under contract for 2024.
Okay. Get ready.
That could be it, right?
Yes.
So here you go. Yep. So I have. Let's see, after this year, looking down the list, as far as D-line, Epenesa, Jones, Oliver, Settle. Yep, all of them will be free agents at the end of this year, unless any of them sign extensions. So there you go. Boogie Basham and Greg Rousseau the following year, but you can also exercise the fifth-year option on Greg Rousseau. So yes, I agree, and I'm just telling, I think we have to start at least thinking like that. What you just said, Joe, is right. To me, they have, and look what happened in the playoffs. They lost Daquan Jones, and how much did they get run on? I think you have to start thinking along those lines that could be in play.
Sal Capaccio on the Western Hotline. Sal's on the way with the Extra Point Show. Evan Lazar, you said, who covers the Patriots. He'll be coming up during your show.
And Judy Batista. How about that? From NFL Network. So that's really cool. Judy, she's going to be out at the NFL owners meetings. Judy had a really good conversation yesterday with Andrew Siciliano about the AFC East and how close teams may be to the Bills or passing the Bills. So I reached out and said, hey, this is a good conversation. So she's going to join us at 10:30 today.
Owners meetings next week, and you're heading out to those as well.
I'll be out there, and we'll come to you live from there. It'll be early. I'll be at 5:30 Phoenix time. They don't sell. They do not do daylight savings time in Arizona. They're on mountain time.
Yes.
But since they don't move the clocks, it's 3 hours now.
All right. Thanks, Sal.
Okay, guys.
We're very late. We're going to break in. We've got quick check-in with Patriots and Dolphins to talk about Damian Harris and Trent Sherfield with Ben Volen at the top of the hour. And then 9:30, we're going to do Travis Wingfield, MiamiDolphins.com. So quick little check-ins on the two newest bills for you next hour here on WGR.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice cold reward. Medella is the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
So the NHL today has announced a New Jersey partner, not New Jersey the state, but a jersey, who's going to make their jerseys, not just the replicas, but the actual jerseys.
Yep.
The other three major sports leagues are all made by Nike. The NHL,
well, who's great,
is going with Fanatics. And judging on the
terrible
online reviews, now, I would say sometimes going online is, you know, an exercise in finding bad reviews. But hockey fans don't seem to like this idea too much, Joe.
No. A divisive group, the hockey fans of Canada and the U.S., all in unison.
Hate Fanatics.
Hating this. And I think I've not seen it put better than Brian Mazurowski from down the hall, who tweeted that this is essentially the NHL on OLN in jersey form.
All right. I was thinking...
Can't believe it. I mean, I can't believe it.
So should, like, you go run and buy a jersey now before they make the switch, is what you're saying?
Well, no, because they're all going to be on clearance in 6 months, aren't they?
Maybe. Fanatics, the New Jersey partner. I would say the NHL does have a DiMaggio-esque streak of making decisions its own fans hate.
Oh, they are elite at it.
They're a dynasty of their own.
Yep.
Hey, what do the fans want? Okay, let's do the opposite of that.
Let's do the opposite. They even commented in the press release about, we know there's going to be trepidation here. And like, they're admitting it. We know you're going to hate it. Just give us a chance, is essentially what they're saying.
Ben Volen going to join us at the Boston Globe, talk about Damian Harris, the newest Buffalo Bill. Guess the prospect coming up as well with Brayton Wilson. And MiamiDolphins.com's Travis Wingfield on Trent Sherfield. So football next hour, some Bills chatter, some draft fun, all coming up. Jeremy White, Joe DiBiase, NWGR.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.